calling the Tri-City TipsNet. Calling the Tri-City TipsNet for Wednesday, July 1st, 2020. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in the city of Groton in Connecticut. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is now, and this is a change, at least temporarily, 146.67, also with a PL tone of 156.7. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is twofold. First, provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. Second, to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. TipsNet is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have a question for the net. We'll ask you for that question after everyone has checked in. There are three sections to the TipsNet. First, as just described, is the open net with rounds of questions and comments as just described. Second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there's an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control station. When checking into net, please say, "This is," and then release the mic button like this. And listen to ensure no one else has called at the same time you have. And then, as no one else has called, you can then slowly give your call sign phonetically, along with your name and location, and if you have a comment or question. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim, your net control station for the evening. We will start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly. Here is Whiskey 1 Foxtrot Juliet Whiskey Chuck in Groton. No questions. Good evening. Here is
Whiskey 1 Romeo Papa Queen Bob in Monville. Good evening. One question.
Okay, net recognizes Chuck, WNFJW, and Bob, W1RPQ, with a question. Any further check-ins, please call now.
Kilo 1, Delta, Charlie Tango, Dave in Preston, no questions.
This is Kilo Charlie 1, Mike Victor X-Ray, Kevin in Groton, no questions.
November
Kilo, 1 Victor, Steve, Coventry, and I have a question. Okay, Net further recognizes Dave, K1DCT, Kevin, KC1MVX, and Steve, NK1V, who has a question. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, very good. I think we're going to jump right to Bob. We're going to bypass you, Chuck, so we can get right to the question, if you don't mind. Bob, W1RPQ, what is your question?
Good evening. This is W1RPQ. Well, it's a simple question for after field day, and I just wanted to find out how everybody did on field day. Seems like we're experiencing a little bit of the field day burnout where people are just walking away from their radios for a few days, but let's find out how everybody did. Looking at the stats through ARRL, it seems to be a very good year for field day as far as people submitting their packages. They were, I think, a third more yesterday than they were last year, and got plenty more time to submit, but looks like it was on the rise thanks to changing the rules and letting everybody work from home. So let me know how you did. Back to net control. W1RPQ.
Okay, very good. I think we'll jump now down to Steve in K1B and get his question. Then we'll go back to the top and start going through the round to get answers to these questions. In K1B, Steve, what is your question?
In K1B, thanks Tim, evening all. I'm just on the beginning of starting to explore doing some QRP work. Especially mobile, or portable, I should say. And I'm going to start by using my regular equipment, my 7100 or whatever, and just turning it way down. It's something I really want to make an investment in. I was curious if anybody had an opinion on, I'm looking to go almost completely portable, you know, backpack style, with a couple of good antenna setups. And I know that Elecraft has some very, it's kind of out of my price range currently, because they're new. But I also see MFJ is selling XIGU, don't ask me to pronounce it, C90. Relatively new to the market, not C90 radio, but that's a pretty good review of the stuff. Just don't know if anybody's ever done, even if I don't go QRP in the 10 watt range or so, just something more for portability, like very portable. Anybody has an opinion on that. But I don't really want to build anything. So that's why I want to go get all the things that I get. That's it. Back to the next. Do you want me?
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Either you or the repeater was very crackly, and I hate to say it, but I think it was you. You may want to check everything as usual. You've been coming in great bangbusters there. So just suggest that you check and make sure. I believe your question was that you're planning on going QRP and you'd like to put together something you can put in a backpack. Where I was a little bit lost was whether you're looking for suggestions for a radio, an antenna, or both. I did hear the part that you didn't want to actually build anything for this, out of the ordinary. So could you just come back once more and let us know, make sure that whether you're looking for suggestions for a radio, for antenna, or for both.
NK1V. Yeah, sorry about that. Hopefully I'm a little bit better now. I switched radios. We were getting some lightning through here, and I switched to my backup radio, which is a backup radio for good reason. No, just looking for rig advice, ultra portable, low power. I'm pretty good in the antenna department, and just if I don't know if anybody's gotten into that at all. I've just kind of exploring, and a little shock, you know, a little sticker shock and stuff, just working around that. Back to that, NK1B.
Okay, that was much, much, much better. Thank you. Fully understandable that time. Okay, before we go to the top of the list and go down with these two questions, anyone else that would like to join the TipsNet, please call now. Okay, we're going to go ahead and circle to the top. We've got two questions on the table. Bob wants to know how everyone did on field day. And Steve is looking for recommendations for a QRP radio that would be good for backpacking. And so we're going to go to Chuck, W1FJW. Do you have any comments on either of those or anything else you'd like to bring to the table?
Well, how I did on field day, I think, goes under the general heading of lousy. I made, if I counted all my contacts carefully, one contact to Barboursville, Virginia, 399 miles, which was not bad for 2.5 watts. I was going QRP, I just got stepped on by everybody that was running in the 15-plus-watt range. The band was just too crowded for QRP operation, I guess. For QRP rig, there's probably several. I'm thinking something like the Yaesu FT 818 would probably would do nicely. I'm sure there's some Elcraft K3 series that would do nicely. It's just a case of what you want to do and how much you want to spend, I guess. Back to net, W1FJW.
Okay, very good. Thank you for those comments, Chuck. Okay, very good. Thank you for the comments, Chuck. And now we'll go down to Bob and ask him the same question, how he did on field day, and if he had any thoughts about QRP rigs. W1RPQ, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is W1RPQ. Field day this year was a lot of fun. I didn't go crazy, but had 393 QSOs, about 300 on digital and the others on phone, mostly 80 meters in the evening and 40 meters and some on 20 meters, but 40 meters really got jammed in there, and it was really hard to disseminate one signal from the other, even with the 7300 that I have. Just a lot of traffic on there, but it was a lot of fun. QRP rigs. I have an FT891, which is not cheap, but it's pretty small and pretty powerful, 100 watts if you need it, in a pretty small case. I think it's pronounced Zygu. They have a G90, which is about $500 there for that one. It's getting a lot of write-ups. I've seen some stuff in QST and a few other magazines about it being a pretty quality radio for its size. If you go to Elecraft, Yeah, that sticker shock is pretty amazing, but I know guys that have them and really enjoy them, and every once in a while you can find them used as well. But though that would be my recommendation, to look at the Zygu and an FT-891 or something in that range. This is W1RPQ, back to net.
Okay, very good, Bob. Thank you very much. That was worth listening to. And one other, I remember from previous field days, I believe Larry, WR1B, who used to be very active up in this area, has since moved to Pennsylvania. I believe his email is good on QRZ. He might be a person you might want to contact with questions, you know, from a user perspective on the KX3. Okay, now we'll move on down to Dave and see what he thinks about these two questions. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
Hi, well, good evening to all. This is K1DCT. Glad to be here. And, had a little power outage here lately. Today, we're out for about 3 hours. They originally anticipated I wouldn't be back on till 8:30-ish, but lo and behold, it came on about 20 minutes after I started the generator. So that worked out okay. Field day. Well, I did my usual, which is exactly what Steve's talking about. I did one Bravo was my class, battery power, QRP, CW. And I went to a place that I've been going to for about 10 years, and I throw my wire antenna up in a tree with a slingshot and a weight. Takes a few minutes, and in just over an hour I made a dozen contacts. And then it really started to rain and lightened up, so I decided it was time to go. And so I only made 12 contacts. And I would have gone back on Sunday and done it all over again, except that just happened to be my wedding anniversary. So I had better thoughts. But as a result of my 12 contacts, battery power, public place, all that, my preliminary results are 370 points. So not too bad for a little, maybe an hour and a half's worth of effort. And it, had it not rained, it had been pouring and, you know, threatening to lightning all afternoon, I would have hung out a little more because I was having a blast. Let me reset here. So as far as Steve's question go, QRP, I've had many QRP rigs along the way. Some were built by me, some I bought that were built by others, and, you know, as a kit, and then they got tired of them. But presently I do have a KX3, and I did pick it up used. It was still pretty pricey, but it does everything that you're used to at home. You know, filtering, memories, the whole deal. And maybe this, I have seen that stuff about the Zygu, I think is it's called. Looks pretty impressive, a little less on the wallet hurt. So might be worth a little looking into. Chuck mentioned the, I think it's an 817 by Yaesu. Those are kicking around. Maybe they're still being made. All nice little QRP rigs. I know the 817, the KX3 have internal batteries. So you can, if you put rechargeables in there, you can charge it up and put it in a backpack with whatever antenna you'd like to use and go off and play. So I've been doing QRP for a long time. On and off recently, but for years I operated QRP CW strictly. So I got a little bit of knowledge there, not all inclusive, but glad to help. K1DCT, back to net.
Okay, thank you very much, Dave. Happy congratulations on your anniversary, both you and your wife. Okay, before we move on to Kevin and Steve, I'll do another quick call out. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. And anybody that would like to join in the conversation, please come with your call sign now. Okay, we'll move on to Kevin, KC1MVX, and see how he did on field day and what his thoughts are about QRP radios or even the whole concept. KC1MVX, KC1TWR.
Thanks, Tim. Good evening, everyone. It's KC1MVX. Field day being my first field day and not even really quite understanding what it was before I went into it was a lot of fun. Went up in the mountains to a campsite with the North American Kilowatt Club, and we were a 3 alpha. We did digital CW, and then I had my ICOM 7300, and I forgot what else we had. We tried 2 meter, but I'll talk about that in a sec. That was interesting. I myself, flying solo, made 33 contacts. 11 of them were on a CQ pile up, which was which I took a break afterwards because it's overwhelming the first time you ever deal with a pile up and have to answer. I'm sorry, no, like 17 of them were in the pile up. Anyways, it was a lot. I got to the point where I could no longer do the phonetic alphabet, and I've been in the military for 16 years, so it broke my brain, but it was awesome. As a club, I don't know our totals yet. Chuck hasn't gotten back to me, but Brian and I, KC1VS and I, on my radio made almost 60 contacts by ourselves, and then add in the probably couple hundred Chuck made. And we also did Parks on the Air the day before and made a bunch of contacts there. Resetting. It was all very fun. I did 20, 40, and 80 meters. And then, because we were under the club call sign, I got to go in the extra bands, which is cool, because they were a little bit quieter. And then, yeah, 2 meter. On the way back, I have a Yaesu 2980 in my truck with a mag mount. And as I'm crossing the border back into Massachusetts, on my way back down, I hear I'm on the 146.520 monitoring, and I hear a CQ for field day, and I got an Alpha Charlie 1 Juliet, a guy that was certified in 1957, 14 years old. Pretty neat, and my only 2 meter contact, but it just came out of nowhere, so it was cool. And yeah, as far as QRP, I looked into it a little bit, and everywhere I look, it says if you're willing to spend the money, the Yaesu FT818 is great because it has it comes with a really nice battery already. It does all the bands, all the way up to 160, including 6 meter, and it's got all the functionality of your standard Yaesu with automatic repeater offset and all that. The 891 doesn't have a power source and, you know, needs a tuner. And, well, I guess it depends on your antenna, but the 891 doesn't have a power source. That's a big thing. And then as far as QRP goes, I thought QRP was 5 watts or less, and the 818 is 6 watts. I'm thinking that probably still counts, but I'm just not sure on what's considered QRP. Hope that answers the questions. KC1MVX, back to net.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Kevin. Go glad you had a good time up there with Field Day. And the North America Kilowatt Club sounds like they had a rousing first Field Day, and probably many more to come. Okay, let's move on to Steve and K1B and see what he thinks of all this advice that's being thrown at him. And K1B, KC1TWR.
NK1V, and I hope you guys can hear me. I'm back on my backup radio. We've got some pretty good thunderstorms going on here. And this antenna is a little bit lower and a little bit safer, and the radio's a little less expensive. On Field Day, thanks, Bob. I actually have had so much going on this week that I did do some Field Day from home, emergency power, one echo. And I found it interesting this year because it had a little flavor of contesting in it, you know, with everybody having so much power. But still got out there and was unable to do any, portable stuff, which I had hoped to, but just my personal schedule was out of control. So, thanks for reminding me. I actually have to put my log together and everything and contact the club and see what we can all put together. Let me reset. The Elecrafts are very nice, and I know a couple people have them, and currently a little bit out of my budget, not that they're out of my future, just and the 818 is nice, this 817 and 818, they're I don't think that either of them have a built-in tuner. One of the interesting things about that Zygo is it has a built-in tuner, which I've heard from some reviews is pretty impressive. And because it's software-defined, it can also, it makes a really good antenna analyzer once you figure out how to use it. So I don't know, that may be where I'm glad that others have heard of it. That's what I was worried about, that no one ever heard of the thing. And so I may set my sights on that. But I am going to do some, I am working on my CW, which I've actually made some progress on the past few nights. And I think I'm going to try a couple of parks on air activations at much lower power, you know, get down in the 5-watt range with my usual setup and or as low as I can go and see how frustrated I get, and then go from there. But thanks everybody for their advice, and thanks for reminding me about Field Day. Back to Matt, NK1B.
Well, I'm glad that we were able to help you out, or the group was able to help you out. I certainly did. But for CW practice, I don't know, you're probably aware of this, but I'll mention it anyway. You might want to contact Bill, K1EV. I believe his email is good in George Head. Because I know, I think it's Tuesday evenings that they have I'll call it a practice CW net locally. And you may want to get out on that if that would fit in with your practicing CW. And go from there. Okay, we've reached the bottom of the list. And we'll do another quick call out before we return to the top of the list again. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. Anybody that would like to join and tell us how they did on Field Day, or have any thoughts about QRP, or anything, or any questions or comments you'd like to bring, please come with your call sign now.
Here is Kilo 1, Juliet Mike November, Jerry and Preston.
Charlie 1, November, Bravo, Yankee, Jeremy in Oakdale.
Okay, NET recognizes Jerry, K1JMN, and Jeremy, KC1NBY. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, we're going to give both of you instant service. The two questions that we have at present is one from Bob, W1RPQ, is how did you do on Field Day? Did you enjoy yourself, etc.? Did you were able to make many contacts? second question, and this is from Steve, NK1B. He's thinking about doing QRP work, which means very low power HF work. Do you have any thoughts on what kind of a radio you would recommend for him? And if not, that's fine as well. So we'll start with Jerry, K1JMN.
Thanks, Tim. K1JMN here. Yeah, I had an okay experience with Field Day. I wasn't able to make any contacts, although I was able to hear a lot of QSOs going on. And I was able to hear QSOs from New Hampshire and Massachusetts and New York and a little bit from southern New Jersey. Other than that, I didn't get to hear too much. So I think I was working with issues with the antenna, and I was trying to get it tuned up and such. But this is my first foray into the 80 meter, so I'm still learning. And it was pretty good for me, I thought. And no, I don't have any recommendations for the other question. Okay, K1JM and Betonet.
Okay, very good, Jerry, and hopefully next year we'll be able to do it as a club where you'll have people sitting right next to you, and things will go a little bit better. My recommendation is, now that you've got the antenna up, you've got the radio going, you've got everything in place, I'd actually recommend, although this is COVID-19 and social distancing, to make contact with and see what you can do with one of the HF experienced people, just to make sure that everything that you think is true is true, and maybe they can offer some advice as far as either through the radio or through different testing to let you know if what you have is actually working or not within the parameters that you're hoping for. But in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and go to Jeremy, KC1NBY, and the same questions to you, sir.
Good evening to the net, KC1NBY. For field day, I hung around the house and popped in and out of the garage here with the radio. End up making about four or five, I got them wrote down somewhere, local contacts on VHF, on Simplex. And then as far as QRP goes, I will be no help there. And then I have no further comments or questions. KC1NBY, back to net.
Okay, thanks for joining, Jeremy, and that's good for a first field day. And now we're going to round robin up to the top of the list, and we've pretty much answered all the questions. So, Chuck, WNFJW, anything further you'd like to bring to the net?
No, sir, I think I've added about all I have. Back to net.
Okay, very good. No rush. Next, we'll go to Bob, 1RPQ. Did everybody give you the field day experiences you were hoping for? And anything else you'd like to bring to the net?
This is 1RPQ. Well, they're experiences, and everybody did what they could with what they had, and I'm just glad it sounds like everybody got a chance to try something, and that's a great thing. And QRP, I'm sure that Steve is going to, you know, look at his bank account and figure out what he's going to want to do. I'll throw one other thing out there, and that is 13 Colonies is going to start this weekend, and if anyone is interested in being an operator, to actually be an operator of the K2D station, send me an email, and I can get you in touch with the folks that are making all the arrangements for the Connecticut operators. But you can sign up to do digital FT8, FT4, and phone on several bands. They have a spreadsheet that you just go in and find times that fit your schedule, and you can sign up for that, and you would operate as K2D. I did it last year, and I was able to not only operate, but get all of the 13 colonies and all the extra stations. It was a lot of fun. Other than that, let me send it back to net control. This is W1RPQ.
Okay, thank you very much, Bob, and good to know about the 13 colonies. That always comes in handy. I remember you had a good time with that last year. Okay, let's move on to Dave, K1DCT. Anything further that you'd like to bring to the table?
Oh, very good. Just been poking around here, the interweb, looking at this Zygu. Nice looking little radio. It puts out 20 watts. I'm sure it can be dialed down. That look like it has its own power supply, but you know, if you dial it down to 5 watts, it shouldn't take too much. So that's my only follow up on that. This is K1DCT, in case nobody knew that. Let's see, what else? I know what I do have sort of a request. As I'm looking at the calendar, I notice there's 5 Wednesdays, and usually on the 5th Wednesday, Steve does that. And I'm going to put him on the spot, and if he doesn't want to do it, I understand. But if he could maybe put something together and kind of lead us through how to get a Parks on the Air, you know, how to do a Parks on the Air contact. I think that'd be good for the TipsNet here. I've poked around the website, and you know, you poke around so long, I get a little dizzy about it and decide to shut it off and look at something else. So, just a suggestion. Don't want to put anybody under any pressure. So, K1DCT, back to net.
Okay, very good, Dave. And we'll see what Steve thinks about that when we get down to him. But you're right, whether it's Parks on the Air or Islands on the Air or whatever, they each have their own requirements in order to activate, whether it's logs or a certain number of contacts or something of that nature, whether you need to pre-register or something you can send in after the fact. So that would be good to know. I just ran into the fact that the U.S. islands, like when Tri-City did Flat Hammock in 2018, they could quote unquote activate the island by just stating who was there, when they were there, what bands they were on, and not even submit any logs, just the fact that they were there. But I know that there are others where they want to see a copy of the log. Who did you contact? Do we have verification? So all of those, for all those activities, good to know. Okay, let's move on to Kevin, KC1MVX. Anything else you'd like to bring to the table?
Thanks, Tim. Yeah, actually, I did come up with a question. Has anybody seen my charger for my handheld? I brought it with me on field day, and I can't find it in my truck or my radio bucket, and now I'm sad. See, maybe if I left it at your house. But on a more serious note, I did Parks on the Air right before field day with a Chuck N1SPX under the North American Kilowatt Club call sign, NA1KW. And I know the rigmarole for it, but it all kind of blurred together, and I don't know how he actually did the contacts logging-wise. But it was fun, and it's definitely something I want to do again. So I'd also be interested in learning more about Parks on the Air. And other than that, everyone have a great night. KC1MVX, back to net control.
Well, thank you, Kevin, and hopefully you'll find your charger. It probably got tossed into somebody's bag or in the back of somebody's truck. But and this is something I should have mentioned before. Whenever I'm going to field day, I always take blue painter's tape and I write my call sign on the tape, and I put it on every single item that I bring, because especially when you do field day with a club and you have so many people to get there at once, sometimes people are bringing, you know, exactly identical items. You want to make sure you leave with the one you brought. And sometimes, you know, things get moved around or somebody borrows something. It's just an easy way to make sure everybody gets back what they need. But hopefully what you're missing is, you know, you're going to find very either tucked away somewhere that you forgot about, or somebody else that went with you will find it. Glad you had a good time with Parks in the Air. And we're going to go ahead and move to Steve and K1B and see if there's anything else he'd like to bring to the table of the tips net.
NK1V. Actually, I have three things. One, Tim's comment about the painter's tape and labeling things. I purchased some clear heat shrink tubing, and I have one of those label makers that you type in and it spits out the little tape, and does very well. Like when I make coax up or anything like that, I use to put my call sign and my phone number on that and put the tubing over it, and it makes it real nice looking. But there's a very small threshold between the temperature that the tubing constricts and the label actually turns black. I guess, you know, it's a heat printing. So there's a little bit of a learning curve there. And also, Bob, yeah, thanks for reminding me about the 13 colonies. I actually stumbled across that last year. I got a handful of them, and I love those kind of special event deals. They're usually, sometimes you get a good chat with the operators and stuff like that. I don't know that I would be able to volunteer for, you know, being at the station in Connecticut, but I will definitely be out there. I'll look it up on the web there, get all the times and everything like that, and the stations, and interested in that. Let me reset. And yeah, actually, I'd love to assist on the fifth Wednesday there when I net control for TipsNet there. I'll put together some information. I'll have it out. As you all know, I stumble over everything I think and say, but that's okay. I will have some information in the, you know, brief. It was very tricky in the beginning. You know, most of the guys on the, there's a bit of a learning curve. And actually, Chuck is very, SPX has been doing it for a long time too. Him and I often chat about it. Yeah, I'll put together some stuff, and I'd love to do that. And that'll be a good topic, and we'll have to search around. Back to Matt and K1B.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. And yeah, you must have one of those thermal printers that heats up the tape just enough in where the letters are. And then, as you pointed out, if when you're putting the heat shrink tube on it, you can make an oops. So that's good. That's a good idea, though, putting a clear shrink tube over it, because that helps to protect the lettering and numbering, make it last a really long time. I, too, am going to be looking forward to the Parks on the Air information. Sounds very interesting, and heaven knows we've got a lot of parks. Okay, we're going to move on now to Jerry, K1JMN. Anything further you'd like to bring to the table, sir?
K1JMN. No, thank you, Tim. I have nothing further for the net. Okay, so back to net control, K1JMN.
Okay, very good. And maybe you'll be able to do some of the 13 colonies, because it sounds like you're already listening to some of those states. So anyhow, let's move on to Jeremy, KC1NBY. Any other further questions or comments or anything you'd like to bring to the table?
KC1NBY. Nothing really further to bring to the table, no comments. Just sitting out in the down the garage, listen to the thunder start. So, KC1NBY back to net.
Okay, very good. Okay, well, we've been through two rounds. I think at this point we'll start wrapping up and heading towards the second section. But before we wrap up this section, I would just like to ask if anybody has any further comments or crosstalk that would be appropriate for the first section, please come with your call sign now. Anybody else that would like to check into the TIPS net before we go to the second section, please call now. Okay, we'll now start the second section of the TIPS net. Does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or any items of interest, please call now. Okay, I think with all the excitement of Field Day and everything else going on and the VHF contest that went past, that we're all kind of taking a breather at this point. We're going to go ahead and move on to the third section. And for the third section, is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items? Please call now.
W1RPQ.
KC1MBY.
Okay, we have W1RPQ and KC1NBY. We'll go with Bob first. W1RPQ, please proceed.
This is W1RPQ. The item I have is a TYT 2017 DMR dual band analog radio with extra battery, charger, and a handheld microphone speaker unit if anyone's interested. W1RPQ, back to net.
Okay, anybody with questions for Bob on that item, please call now. Okay, we'll move on to Jeremy, KC1NBY. Please proceed with your comment.
KC1NBY. As I have been shopping for a second 2 meter or dual band mobile radio, I have learned that there are way too many options, way too many different things you can do. So I am just looking for a 2 meter or dual band mobile radio. Casey, want to be wide back to net.
Okay, anybody with questions or comments that they would like to direct to Jeremy, please call now. Okay, hearing none, I think we're done with that section. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. Net control for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TIPS net. Are there any additional check-ins before we close the net? All right, is there any additional crosstalk or comments that anybody would like to make before we close the net? Please call now. Okay, very good. Before we close the net, I would like to announce that the topic for the first Wednesday of August, and thank you, Dave K1DCT, for reminding me of this, will be station ID. How often and when and how do you do it? and that'll be the topic that we'll start with, barring any questions that people may have on the first Wednesday in August. I'd like to thank all who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, and thanks to all who stood by as we conducted the net. Also thanks to W1AN for allowing us to use the W1DX repeater, and to NA1CN for having the Echolink connection to this repeater. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meetings on the second Tuesday of each month, usually at the Red Cross building. However, lately they've been having it on the air. If you want to attend one of the meetings virtually or on the air, please go to their website, which is www.tricityarc.net. That's tricityarcalpharomeocharlie.net. The meetings are at 7 p.m. on the second Tuesday of the month. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo, wishing everyone a good evening and 73.